Hello again, and welcome to this third edition of Métiers Class by Chanel. I'm Tyler Brûlé. In this special five-part series, we're exploring the philosophy, craftsmanship, artistry, precision, and design codes of Chanel with its family of collaborators. And over the course of the series, we sit down with Pharrell Williams, Chanel's fashion president Bruno Pavlovsky, and the late Karl Lagerfeld. Today we're in Paris at Chanel's spiritual home on Rue Cambon to meet Lady Amanda Harlech, who has spent over 20 years as creative consultant to Chanel. We meet on a snowy morning after Chanel's French-themed haute couture show at the Grand Palais to discuss the inner workings of the maison, the importance and joy of detail, and firstly, how you get your customer to become aware of that craftsmanship that goes into their collections.
If the customer actually sees it in its reality, because it's a very sensuous, tactile thing, that will absolutely trigger the desire button.
Yes.
And I think, you know, where we are now in the age of the internet, my worry is sometimes you don't absolutely see the five-dimensional beauty, like the hand-painted scarabs, or in this show, there were real flowers that were dried, pressed, then painted with resin, then embroidered on. It has its aura of like stunning beauty, but close to, or if you get to touch it, it's huge.
But how do you get that proximity? That's what's
how
interesting,
do you
right?
do it? I think things have to be, I think fashion film has to change. I think we have to get now, you know, really using film in its most sensuous way. I mean, really, I'm thinking of that film Roma. I'm thinking, come on, let's use film for what it can do with movement and light, and actually show these clothes, you know, from the inside out, what they really feel like, how they move. I think that's exciting, and it's not, you know, we're still very much a fashion wheel, a little thing that happens here, and you might have two girls playing a part, but it's not actually going into the clothes. And it doesn't have to be boring. That can be as most beautiful as watching, you know, water. I mean, that's mesmerizing, and I don't think I'm seeing that in moving film that specifically fashion. It would be really exciting to do. You know?
For sure. Is there a danger? I mean, of course, it's great to transmit the message on lots of flat screens like this. People get exposed to it. But also, it's very hard to get truly interested in something.
On a tiny screen. Exactly. So how do we do that? How do we get out there? I think it'd be wonderful for kids, for more people to experience it. So maybe it's about Chanel opening up, you know? I mean, already they're wonderful opening so people can go to Pantin, they can go and visit the artisans and actually see how it's doing and that, you know, how things are made. And I think that's really, I mean, not that it should be an educational thing, but I just think we're still a secret society. From just knowing a friend of mine who I followed all the way through college and mentored her, and now she's the most extraordinary weaver. She does couture fabrics. And they are, they're working at the cutting edge, making velvet out of metal fibers. And, you know, it's just really exciting what they can do. I mean, what was interesting seeing, you know, I read the list and then I understood how some of the things that Carl has invented in his head and then have been made. Do you remember it was a couture collection that was, I kind of felt it was very zen, but everything was made of wood. So you had like wooden paillette, and I mean, there was shavings of wood that were sewn on that were so beautiful. And it's, that is astounding, something. Or when he used cement with the Corbusier collection, 18th century Corbusier, how would you think of making cement concrete paillette, which were extraordinarily beautiful? So this is where it's very young and I think must be really interesting. If you are a math or physics or math or chemistry or, you know, even if you're fine arts.
How do you excite young people, though? Because also what you're saying, I mean, it's great to think fine arts, but you also don't need a degree to go and work in one of these ateliers as well. Like, I'm wondering also, are we trying to elevate the process of craftsmanship, which, of course, it's the end product is incredibly important, but yeah, you don't need a master's. I mean, you need experience.
You do, and you need a wonderful, inspiring teacher. But it's that very idea that you might do that. I think that's the, you know, it never occurred to me, and I wish it had, you know, that there was the side of fashion, of all the craftsmanship that goes into fashion, is explorative, thrilling. It's a huge adventure. It is cutting edge.
Did you feel there was enough of that when you were growing up, or do you feel in an age of information now there's plenty of it, or does it get compressed too much right now? We're sort of, you know, so interested in the image, the moment, being there alive, that actually all the elements in between are somehow erased.
Yeah, I think everything now, there is an attention span that has suddenly kind of
compressed.
Yeah. And also that you're immediately onto the next thing, rather than understanding the slow process of becoming over sometimes months when an idea is first, you know, sent out there. Usually it starts with a set, and then that will go into fabric innovation and all of that, and it takes a long time. And yes, that isn't something that you have no way of knowing that, or even feeling that from watching, you know, a runway show online.
Now that's interesting. So you're saying that oftentimes it is the setting.
That will often be the big trigger. That would often be the, you know, the light bulb moment for the studio.
So villa, south of France, sweeping staircase.
I think it started with a swimming pool. And then it was, what kind of swimming pool was Carl thinking? It was a swimming pool in a beautiful garden in the Mediterranean. A formal garden, but full of jasmine and roses and lemon trees and palm trees. And the cypress, I thought, was incredibly... I mean, that was very resonant of that perfect summer that you kind of yearn for right now, particularly.
There is something, yeah, and I think the way it actually blurred in the set is really amazing. Obviously, this background that you had in this show, of course, we're in an audio world right now, but to describe being in the Grand Palais and this wraparound, a proper 360 set, which was remarkable. And then, as you said, this foreground of course, real shrubbery and cypresses and all of these things. And then, of course, fading back into this wonderful set. And I'm wondering, in a way, do you think it's also a little bit of a metaphor for the brand in many ways as well? That Chanel can be, of course, you know, very much in the foreground, very, yeah, very present. But then you actually see it's the depth of field.
Which is what we've been talking about, is how you can go back and back and back, and then you go from layer and layer of thought process of actually what's been made and then what's been refined. And then the way Carl uses references, we will always sweep in the perfect Chanel reference so that everything, you know, everything makes sense. It's nothing is sort of random. And I think that's what makes his shows, his collection, so memorable, because it's so perfectly sewn into the very kind of cloth that is Chanel herself.
So I asked Bruno about the codes of the brand, but Amanda, it'd be interesting to hear from you when you talk about those references, those elements. You know, are there three things, four things, seven things that have to come into the mix that suddenly... you just feel that's right?
Carl, I sometimes think he's like a composer and a conductor. So he composes the music and conducts it. And he knows every note, if those are the codes of Chanel. So your codes, you will always have camellias. You'll always have a little black dress. You will have a tailleur, but it will never look like another one, you know? In a sense, that's like looking at the spirit that you recognize as Chanel. And that spirit... a bit has those things always. I can't remember a collection that hasn't had them.
And if we're going to play on the really the orchestra metaphor, where does Amanda Harlech fit into all of this?
Amanda Harlech is a cheerleader. No, Amanda Harlech, maybe to use the musical metaphor, I think I have a good ear. So not that I will necessarily, I think everybody knows if something's out of tune, but maybe I can point out where a harmony is particularly moving or where one is too repetitive. They're little things, but little details matter to Carl, and that makes the whole perfect. So I, that's my contribution, I think. So I come in a week before, or a bit before, or 2 weeks before a show, and I'll be seeing the fittings. And for me, initially, it's the process of us understanding what Carl wants to say, and then making sure that that comes across. And I think Carl, and I've said this before, Carl uses me a bit like a sounding board to see, is it landing? Is she getting it?
So there's an editorial role then as well.
Editorial, but I don't edit. He edits. He will, I mean, I don't think you do a running order, you get as far as that, and then Carl will take things out. No, nothing will have gone so off-pieced that it wouldn't make sense in the whole. And that's where he's so brilliant.
I want to go back to a little bit where we started and the modern consumer, if we want to go there. And I guess a point of access. And do you think you need more entry points? And we were talking specifically about whether it's ready-to-wear or couture, mm-hmm. for people to not just understand value, but I think more to understand, I guess, the depth of what they're purchasing, the depth of what they're maybe about to start collecting. And I think about the noise that's in the marketplace right now. And is it about more events and more shows? Because I feel something that's happened in the market in the last, I think the last sort of 12, 18 months, maybe 24 months ago, you would have had people saying, oh, what's your social media strategy? Now people say to a media brand like us, when are you doing more events? And this getting close to the customer, and maybe you were saying a little bit earlier as well, does it even need to open up more? And if it does open up more, does that mean it's museum exhibitions? Is it?
Definitely. I think the museum exhibition is very interesting. I think as we see so many collections and so much stuff, and there's almost like an overload, what is great is to be able to take time to look and experience the whole art of couture or accessories in wonderful exhibitions. And there have been the most, I mean, I think exhibitions are suddenly really extraordinary and evocative and memorable. So yeah, that would be something that I think I'm sure Chanel do, and I think they should do more of, which is to have exhibitions, maybe less parties, more exhibitions.
Yeah, be interesting to see what the events team thinks of that. But anyway, there's a curious thing going on as well with rhythm. And I'm wondering if that is being in tempo, never out of your groove, is a good thing. Because yeah, if I think back to the early days when I was writing and covering part of this industry, I mean, many houses didn't even have a cruise collection. So there was two shows. If you had a couture show, then you had two couture shows. So, you know, some brands or businesses were doing a max of two shows. And now there's so many, you know, your 8, your 10 shows a year. Does that, I mean, in a way, it's a little bit like exercise. It keeps you more fit and nimble, but also you have to keep turning out the hits.
That's what Carl says. It keeps, you know, you flex the muscle of the brain and you get stronger and you can, you know, do more. I don't think it's a question of what happens, that there's too much here. I think that it's how much people can absolutely absorb realistically. And we have a whole kind of, you know, there are the drumbeats out there quite rightly about sustainability and about producing too much stuff and how things are made. And that's something that Chanel has really taken to heart, which is exciting. And that's why, you know, couture, it, for me, is the best of the best, because it is about making these pieces that last, that they live forever, hopefully in your life, not in an exhibition either. And I think that's really important when we see a sort of sea of, I mean, I just get so frustrated with the whole thing of the, you know, floggers, and the 2 weeks later the kids chuck the thing away because, of course, you know, that's no longer the thing. And we must not look at clothes as being disposable, but clothes about being part of your life, which is where workmanship is something that will give you that that feeling that you don't want to part with that thing. Even, you know, I just think when you love the embroideries and the colours and you feel its lightness and the pin tucks on the inside, it's just something you never want to part with.
There's a component of really trying to get it to register with people that you're purchasing a moment in time, not only that it's a sliver of where we are pop culturally, but also, yeah, obviously craftsmanship evolves, all of these things evolve, and it sort of represents a little bit of an epoch as well, which you hopefully will want to keep on your rail and revisit, I would imagine.
Definitely. And it's interesting that the métier d'art, for example, and the couture, where the workmanships are particularly fine and very linked in with Carl's imaginative kind of song for his collection, that they are very memorable. Those details, when you see the clothes or you see the button, which often the button has the whole code of what that collection's about, you relive that. And so it is a sort of Proustian moment, which makes your clothes rather wonderful, I think.
And that concludes this third edition of Métier Class by Chanel. We've been in conversation with Chanel creative consultant Lady Amanda Harlech, and you can follow the rest of the series over the coming weeks here on Monocle 24 or download them from your favourite audio source, including Chanel's 355 series on iTunes. Up next, I'll be speaking to musician, record producer and Chanel collaborator Pharrell Williams here in Paris. Today's show was coordinated by Monocle's Daphne Hazard, produced by Holly Fisher and Fernando Augusto Pacheco. I'm Tyler Brulé. Thank you for listening.